book of Samuel, the 17th chapter, where we left off at verse 32 in our last study. You may recall that we saw a picture of Christ going to war against the enemy of life. And that enemy is eternal death. He went alone and he overcame eternal death alone. Our great captain, our conqueror over death and hell, this is a fight, if left to ourselves, we will lose. It is as though we are going into battle with a feather, only it's dried up and brittle and all the bristles have fallen off. Or in other words, we are desolate and completely depraved of any ability to fight. David, as a picture of Christ, says to the king, Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistines. Our Lord willingly went to the cross to fight the fight of death, to fight against death, and he came out the other side victor over it. Death could not hold him. We also looked at how God uses the weak things of the world to reveal his strength. David is a picture, a small young man of 20 going up against the 11-foot giant, Goliath, a picture of men in their weakness. We looked at the weakness of the flesh and how the Lord uses our weakness to bound, to magnify his greatness, his strength. Israel itself was one of the smallest of all the nations at the time, and it was used as a picture. A weak nation, a weak people. And it was used over and over again. We saw the battles in some of the Old Testament studies we did with Steve Doyle. We would go to the battles and you would see where the Lord would do the fighting for them. They wouldn't even have to lift a finger. The Lord would go into a camp and with a great thunder, it would scare everybody off. The Lord did the fighting. So many, many more of those very examples that we could not even cover them all in just a few studies. As we go along in this world on our journey to our home, we learn more and more of our weakness and we look more and more to our strong man, the God man, Christ the Lord. We come more and more to the realization that Jesus is our all in all. And as this truth settles into our soul and we lay down our self-will, our pride, we too can go forward against the Goliaths of this world with confidence, knowing that our Lord will conquer everything for us. And that's exactly the state of mind that David is in. You don't need to turn there, but in Ephesians 2:8 it says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is what David had. He had faith. He had faith in his Lord. He was able to stand there and say to the king, I can go fight this Goliath because no matter what happens, my Lord is in control of everything. The God of creation, Jesus Christ, who created everything, rules over everything. He is sovereign. We cannot say that enough times. For oh, how quickly I can in the flesh forget that my Lord is running things. I've shared with you many times before on how I can hit a ball right down the middle of the fairway and think, woo, there we go. I'm just like Tiger Woods. And then the very next moment, the Lord proves to me, no, you're not, John. And he hits it right off into the weeds. Oh, how quickly I can forget. That's not just the only place that I forget. There's everything. All the things. Oh, I can do this hard work. I can get this done. Lord, keep me humble. Remind me always that I am just a weak, weak being, and I need you. In the 33rd verse of Samuel, Chapter 17, we read, And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Notice once again, will you? Saul is looking to the flesh rather than to God. David is standing there and saying, how dare you talk against God's people? God who rules everything. God who is our strength. And Saul is, who do you think you are, you little guy? Isn't it? Saul is looking to the flesh rather than into God. All he can see is the smallness of this young man. This may be one of our very own weaknesses. Do we see what God can accomplish in those around us? Or do we see only the weakness of the flesh? I ask that of myself. I need to ask that of myself every moment. Am I looking to what God can accomplish in this place, or am I looking to what I can accomplish in this place? Am I looking to what we can accomplish? A lot of churches do that. A lot of churches look at it exactly like that. What do we accomplish? We feed the poor. We send missionaries out all over the world. We do this, we do that, we do this, we do that. I am so thankful that in this little church right here in Rescue, California, our Lord does it all. He brings people in, just as he brought you and I in, some a lot longer ago than others, and some not so long ago. But still, it's our Lord doing the work. He's the one who brings them in. He's the one who makes it effectual in our hearts. Even though a man stands before you speaking, it must be God who works in the hearts of men and makes his word effectual to us. Do we see what God can accomplish in those around us, or do we see only the weakness of the flesh before us? Oh, dear Savior, give me this faith to trust in your doings. To trust that all that happens is according to your purpose. Continuing in verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. The key phrase that we must take note of here is the Lord that delivered me. David's faith was in the Lord that delivered him from the animals. We can rest in this. The Lord will deliver us from the wrath to come. And that's what that picture of Goliath and the bears and everything else is. It's of the wrath to come. That which we deserve, our Lord has conquered by taking our place and going to the cross for us. Shedding his own blood, the perfect blood of God, that you and I might live in him. All that the Father giveth me, he says, shall come to me. Whether it be deliverance from troubles of this world or final deliverance from this world, our God has said it to be so, and it will be so. Abraham had this very same faith, that is the faith that what God had said will come to pass, will come to pass. He was willing to kill his own son, for he trusted what God had promised, and God had promised a seed to come from that son. So when Abraham went up on that mountain to sacrifice his son, as God had told him to, he was willing and able to, because God had given him the faith to believe God's promises. And that's exactly the same faith that you and I have. We believe God. We have the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. That's the only peace we can have. If we look and see the sin in our own lives, which we do, we turn away from that and we look to our Lord and what he has said he would do and what he has done, and we believe it to be done. Abraham had that faith. He believed what God said. His son, the seed would come from his son. Therefore, God would have to raise him again if he had killed him. I hope the Lord never asked me to have that kind of faith, but I know this. I know this. That if the Lord ever desires for me to have that kind of faith, I will have it. And may it be all for his glory and his glory alone. The famously used scripture in the third chapter of John is confirmation of this very faith that we're speaking of. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is not just believe that there is one called Jesus, but believing everything about him. Believing whosoever believeth that he, the Lord Jesus, is truth. Or whosoever believeth that he, the Lord Jesus, is creator. Or whosoever believeth that he, the Lord Jesus, is God in the flesh. Or whosoever believeth that he, the Lord Jesus, is the perfect Lamb without blemish, without spot, the Lamb slain for the sins of his people. Or whosoever believeth that he, Jesus Christ the Lord, has risen from the grave, victor over death, the very death that we deserve. Or whosoever believeth that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, sits on his throne in glory right now, sovereignly working everything, ruling over everything, every detail, assuring that his promises will come to pass as he has seen fit to bring them about according to his purpose and according to his own counsel. Those who have received the faith that God, the God-given faith, believe this, and we trust all that he has told us. And David was acting upon this very faith. We can see another example of this in, turn to the 2 Chronicles 20. Hold your place here in Samuel. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and had built thee a sanctuary therein, for by thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of this thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. When David said, the Lord leadeth, he's talking that very same thing, turning his eyes to God as his strength to go against that Goliath. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on his wonderful face. And the things of this world, the giants of this world, the 11-foot Goliaths of this world, the waves that will crash over our heads at times, it seems, will turn strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Verse 38, back in our text of Samuel 17, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. That's just a breastplate. I don't know why they called it mail. I tried to look that up and tried to figure that out, but when I pulled that word up, mail, it didn't make any sense to me why they called it mail. It's a breastplate. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. Notice David hadn't proved the armor of men. He hadn't proved the steel. That's not the kind of armor that David had a few moments ago when he was so bold to say, I will go up against Goliath, is it? No, the Lord was his boldness. So David put them off, and he took his staff in his hands. The weakness of men. Going forth with the strength of God. Oh, I love to see the pictures of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout Scripture. Because when I'm really weak, and I'm really weak a lot, especially today, as in most days, when I have to stand before God's people and speak His word. Lord, who is sufficient? And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip and a sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine, and the Philistine came out and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. Robert Hawker wrote this. He said, this is somewhat very interesting in this equipping David for the battle, in putting on and then putting off the unsuited armor, and at length choosing only a few stones from the brook. Surely, without much inquiry, we must see the gracious lesson that it teaches us. Under the similitude, in going forth against the cursed enemy of our souls, no human armor, though burnished and sharpened with the keenest edge, will answer our purpose. The enemy, as it is said of the Leviathan, laugheth at the shaking of the spear. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold. David went forth, as he saith himself, in another place, in the strength of the Lord. He that prompted him to undertake the battle armed him. The very one who gave David the boldness to stand up to this Goliath gave him the strength and the suitable strength for it. The smooth stone of the brook, which was of God's own creating, and which no human heart had polished or worked upon, was a sweet type that both the Lord's armor and the Lord's strength should serve his arm to give it the full commission intended. And how didst thou come, blessed Jesus? Of what was thy armor composed, when in the victory for us and for our deliverance thou didst enter the list alone, to vanquish Satan and sin and death and hell and the grave? Surely thine own arm brought salvation unto thee, and thy fury it upheld thee. End of quote. We continue on with verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was about a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? With a staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Notice it's small gods. It's man-made imaginational gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all that the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. the address of the Philistine to David, and David's answer to the Philistine is exactly suited for their different characters. How confident are the carnal men like this Philistine? And what a contemptuous view do they take of the Lord's people? On the other hand, how humble and unassuming is the language of grace, like that of David. Here is not a word of himself or of his own merit or strength or might for the war. It is the Lord's cause in which I am engaged, saith the gracious soul, and the Lord shall have all the glory. And that's the way it should be. Always giving him the glory. In verse 48, we continue to read on, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to David to meet David, and David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone, and he slang it and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and took upon the and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath therefore and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and the Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? Saul is so wrapped up in his own stuff, he forgot who the young man that was standing before him was. That's a little confusing. But he did. I'm thinking it might be that evil spirit the Lord had sent against him at one time before. David was kind of busy and couldn't play the harp for him at that time, could he? Who is this young man? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire those whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hands. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now I'd like to bring this week's study to a close with once again reading the reflections of Robert Hawker on this chapter we've just read. He says, pause my soul over the perusal of this chapter and behold in the character of Goliath of Gath and his bold and open defiance of Israel a lively resemblance of that implacable, proud, and haughty foe, the accursed enemy of God and man, the devil, who goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Was that not what we heard from Goliath? For 40 days did he not stand there and, hey, come up against me, come up against me. All he did was roar. The Lord held him back. How often hath he stood tremendous to thy view, defying God and his Redeemer? To save thee, how fierce the blasphemous have been in his enunciations in tempting thee to fear that his threatenings were but too well founded. And how often, like the whole army of Saul at his reproach again and again, not only for 40 days together, but for years, in apprehension hast thou fled from him and been sorely afraid. And indeed, had a deliverance from his power been left to the accomplishment of an arm of flesh, how sure would have been thy everlasting ruin. O precious Jesus, thou almighty David of thy people, blessed be our Father's mercy that sent thee to see how thy brethren fared, and to take their pledge, and blessed be thy love which prompted thy divine mind to come to our rescue from all the powers of sin and hell. And thrice blessed be the hour when thine own blood and righteousness that thou didst conquer for us all our enemies, all the enemies of our salvation. And now, Almighty Lord, we behold thee as returning from the slaughter of the Philistines, having spoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them openly and triumphing over it, them in it. Now, Lord, we behold thee seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and all power thine in heaven and earth. Go on, Almighty Conqueror, in thine holy war, until all hearts are subdued to the sovereignty of thy grace, and have wrought out such glorious deliverances for us. Work a still more powerful victory in us, O Lord, and O lead us on as the Israelites pursued to the Philistines to all the conquests which thy redemption hath procured, until at length, having under thy banners manfully opposed and subdued all the enemies of our salvation, we follow thee to the seat of the conqueror, where in an unceasing security which thy complete victory hath purchased of everlasting joy. May our Lord give us the strength, as he gave David, to look to him, our conqueror. And when he does, and we've done what we have to do, we'll stand back and say, thank you, Lord. Glory be to our captain, our great king, sovereign ruler over everything.